Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 430 of the Milk Bar. Jason Forrest here with you as ever this week. And on the show, we'll be talking about the female of the species, the play by Joanna Murray-Smith that's currently being presented by Codsall Dramatic Society. We'll hear from the cast. Also, we'll be talking to J.B. Gill of JLS and Steve Levins all about how the beer that you want to choose has a food to go with it. Yes, there is a beer for that. That's on the way. John Thompson from Round Oak Interiors is going to let us know how they took a dilapidated pub by next door to where the Roundout Steelworks used to be at the back of Many Hill and turned it into a fantastic kitchen and bathroom showroom. And Maddie Moat off the telly is going to be talking about science in schools. That's all on the way. But first of all, it's very, very nearly panto season.
Jack and the Beanstalk is the panto at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre from the 9th of December through to the 14th of January. Their very own Jack Trott is the wonderful Gareth Gates. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, and how are you?
Very well. I'm thrilled to be here in Wolverhampton and to be playing the title role Jack in Jack and the Beanstalk.
Yeah, which means that you've already snuck around and found your favourite dressing room, I take it.
I've performed here twice, actually, so I have my eye on which room I'll hopefully get.
OK, so you could be fighting with Lisa Riley on that one, so...
Probably, yeah.
OK, we'll see what happens there. But, I mean, the role of Jack is a good one, and you've got a bit too much of a tan to be playing young Jack there. I don't think he gets as many holidays as you've clearly been on.
I've literally just come back from Marbella and Saint-Tropez, so it is actually real, which is a first.
And you've been doing so much since we first saw you on Pop Idol back in the day, through Dancing on Ice and everything else that's going on. I mean, Jack's a bit of an entrepreneur, and you seem to be as well. Is this the reason you took the role? Because you fancied maybe showing how business can be done in the world of Jack Trott?
Yes, that's exactly why. I've done 8 pantos in the past. Always played the prince, apart from once I played Aladdin. Mm-hmm. So I've never played Jack before, and yeah, he has that business sense about him. Yeah. As do I. I've created a range of tea, which is in Holland and Barrett, and another big store, which is yet to be announced.
It must be great having the opportunity to go off and do things like that while still performing, and you've been touring around the country in Footloose, so you've got lots of different aspects of your world these days. And dare I ask, which is the favourite, I'm guessing, when you get to sing?
Yeah, my life is quite crazy. I'm always performing. You know, I have this terrible stammer, which I work hard to try and deal with that. And so as a result of that, music's always been my passion. The only way I've ever really been able to kind of truly express myself. So I'll never stop performing. However, I've got all these ideas and I've got several businesses on the go. Managing time and juggling everything is really, really tricky. But we're doing all right up to now.
And panto, one of your favourite things as a kid?
Yeah, I'm from Bradford originally. It's a massive culture there over Christmas. I watched as a child, dreamt of being the prince. And here we are today.
Well, to aid you in these senior roles that you're getting, you've been going to the gym rather a lot as well. What's going on there?
Yeah, I'm just extremely healthy at the moment.
But you keep telling everyone on Twitter as well. Is this so that the legions of female fans just know what you're up to for them?
I'm trying to get the cover of Men's Health. That's the only reason why.
All part of the plan. Okay, so it is world domination in every area.
Absolutely.
Well, it's going to be great having you in panto. I know you're looking forward to it. You must get some great lines in there and some great songs. Is there anything you've asked for that's been around this year that you're looking forward to having a sing-song with?
Well, now's the time, actually, that we start to talk about the songs. So I put together my list of suggestions, the production company do the same, and then we have a fight.
Okay, and fingers crossed you get to win.
Yes.
Either that or you'll get a Beyonce number, probably. Exactly. But we'll see how that works out. No, it'll be good from whatever happens. So you look forward to that one. It is Jack and the Beanstalk, Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre, 9th of December through to the 14th of January. Get your tickets now, 01902 429212. That's the box office number, or grandtheatre.co.uk. But Gareth Gates, thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. Thank you.
No musical guest this week, but what we are doing is celebrating the release of Smoke and Mirrors, the brand new album by Jess and the Bandits. Now, you may recall we had a little chat with Jess about what was planned to be her forthcoming tour. Sadly, she's had to cancel that as she needed to go back to the US to look after her family and make sure everything was put back in place following the hurricanes they've had over there and the flooding in the state. But she will be back on tour in February, and the album's been doing absolutely brilliant things across all outlets. So let's take a listen to one of the tracks from that. This is Sister.
You got more tears than heaven's got a rain. All angels feel your pain. You think it'll never change. You're a statue on a crowded street. Wings out but never free. A beauty that you can't see. You're not the first, won't be the last woman to fight this. Know that you're hurt, but you don't have to hide it.
When I hear you cry,
sister, it'll be alright.
Call my name,
stay with you all through the night.
Ooh, 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 ooh. When you can't be loud,
sister, I will be your voice.
Call it
I'll
out.
Be the clarity within your noise.
Ooh, 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 ooh,
sister. Never speak the truth. Time's not a friend of you. And love you never knew. Hold your head high, don't let it fall. You will get through this. You'll be alright on the other side if you can do it.
Sister from Jess and the Bandits, and we'll have more from the album Smoke and Mirrors very soon. Codsall Dramatic Society have Female of the Species at the Codsall Village Hall right the way through until Saturday. First of all, I met up with the director and the person playing Margot Mason to find out more about how this production had come to life. So Nikki Ellis, director of the Female of the Species, yep. An interesting choice of production. How did that come about?
I actually remember we read it here a few years back, and it really stood out to me back then, but I think we couldn't cast it at the time, so it wasn't used. But I've remembered it from those years ago because it just, I don't know, it had an impact on me. It sort of resonated with me a little, I suppose.
Brilliantly funny story and particularly well performed. It must have been great to take this one on.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, I was excited to direct it because I felt so passionately about the play when I read it. I just really enjoyed the comedy and I knew we could do a lot with it because we have some great actors in the society. And then to end up starring in it as well was, you know, it was hard work and everyone had to chip in. But I'm actually really privileged. I'm really glad that I got to act in it as well as direct it, because I love it so much. So
I'm playing someone a lot older than yourself, yeah. but that again, it's part of the challenge, part of the fun, mm-hmm. and you know, the audience, I don't think for a moment questioned your maturity from your acting, but obviously you've got much better skin than you probably would have if you were really 60.
I like the way you use maturity rather than saying I looked old. No, we did pencil in some wrinkles just to try and add to the effect. I have wiped them off now, so don't say yeah they look good, because okay. they're not there anymore. That's my own. But yeah, like you said, it's just having a certain air about you, I suppose, and I think the grey wig helped.
So Ali Hughes playing Molly in the production, and of course you've got a vitally important part because you get to be a household intruder.
Yes.
You'd like to take control of the situation in your role.
Yeah, I do like to take control of the situation, but it's not really something that I'm very relatable for. So
when you're coming at something like this, how do you put yourself in the right place to play someone who's basically going to be a little bit nasty potentially?
I think you have to channel some sort of emotions that you felt before. You've got to think of angry, sad, where you've been in your own life sort mm-hmm. of thing. So just channel all that to the very front of what you're doing.
And what's it like being part of Cottle Dramatic Society? How does that work for you?
Oh, it's lovely. It's like being a family, really. It's not just some hobby that you go to. It's part of your life in the end. Lovely.
Tom Sherm, you get to be the taxi driver in this production, and very much a man's man in places, but with an emotional side as well.
Yeah, I think taxi driver is one of the nicest things he's probably been called. He ends up driving the daughter of the author, and she's not having any of it because she's heard it all before. And he comes back to sort of give her a piece of his mind, but he's got different views on what women should be. He's very much the man's man. Women should do the laundry, and he goes out to work, and that's about it from me, I think. That's Frank, isn't it, really?
But you do get to eat a lot of breadsticks in the production.
Breadsticks, that Melba toast as well, yeah. Get loads of those.
So basically it's just a meal out for you?
To be honest, I don't have my dinner anymore. About 6 o'clock, I'll skip dinner tonight, and I'll just come here and have loads and loads and loads of breadsticks.
Catherine Evans is playing Tess, daughter of the author in the show, and a fun part, and you get to wear your dressing gown the whole production.
Yeah, it's a very comfy role. it's difficult not to snuggle up at times, especially when I'm on the floor.
Yeah, but have a little nap.
Yeah, but the sights of Frank keep me entertained. So.
And a very entertaining piece throughout. You get some fantastic lines, as do all of the cast, and it's great to be part of something that is clearly so funny, because the audience are giggling away, but you have to keep a straight face throughout.
Yeah. There were a couple of times when you sort of have to sort of remember it's not funny for you, but it's, yeah, definitely.
I know you have a young family yourself, so obviously you can identify with the character's stress over things going on around the house.
Yeah, to a certain extent, the relentless spills, projects, etc., but not so much the craziness and wanting to leave.
No, stay at home and enjoy all of that. But brilliant production, very well done, and great to see you on stage.
Thank you.
Christopher Hurst playing the part of Brian in the production, and do you have to act a little bit stupid, or do you feel that you got the part because you're a bit daft?
Well, I won't disagree that potentially there's probably more about Brian that is actually like me than I'd be caring to admit.
Is it your own tie with Annual Light from the Muppet Show?
Of course it is. Don't you have one?
No, I've probably got Kermit the Frog socks. But anyway, let's not go there. So, again, a fun part to play in a fun production.
Yeah, great fun. I mean, yeah, there's always a good bit of time being a bit daft on stage. Everyone enjoys it. Everyone likes being a fool every now and again. So, yeah, good fun. And the cast are great, and it's been a really good experience over the last sort of few weeks, learning it, getting it on its feet, etc. It's really good.
Theo is the publisher of the works in this. John, you get to play that role, and initially you're an imagined voice on the phone, but then you turn up in real life in a very interesting situation.
That's right, yes. I walk into a hostage situation, but I'm not fazed by it.
Throwing yourself into a story which is both farcical and fun, but with a serious side to the plot too.
Yes, it is. It's a super story. It's a very funny play, and it's been a joy to be part of. It's been a great play. But yes, it has its serious side as well, the feminism and post-feminism angles.
And you never know quite what you're going to get next with Cottle Dramatic, do you?
No, that's true, yes.
So you could turn up as anything in the Christmas panto.
Yes, watch this space.
Okay, yeah. We'll see what happens there. But a great show.
Thank you.
Time to take another track from Jess and the Bandits now. This is Gone Girl.
Come on and get your makeup on. We're gonna go dancing, put on shoes, you're gonna wanna kick off. Girl, I ain't asking, you know you look good on a bar stool, and why shouldn't we do what we do best? 'Cause he's gone like the wine in your glass, girl, so pour another, I swear.
Gone Girl, taken from the brand new album from Jess and the Bandits, Smoke and Mirrors. It's available to download on iTunes and also pick up in real life in HMV or via Amazon. Natural ingredients in food and drink are important to two-thirds of Brits, so says a survey, as we're in the middle of British Food Fortnight at the moment. To tell us more about their grub, we've got Steve Linens. He is part of the British Beer and Pub Association for a while, and he knows his stuff when it comes down to things. He's been an industrial microbiologist as well. And also JB Gill, formerly of JLS. Hello to you both.
Hey, how you doing? Hi, Jason.
So, first of all, Mr. Gill, tell us a bit about how on earth you go from JLS to setting up a farm in the Kent countryside.
Well, it was a bit of escapism, I think, in the first instance, and something that I've just become more increasingly passionate about as time's gone on. We had about 13 acres of land where we're based now, and for me it was all about getting the best use out of that. I've got a young family, a little boy, he's just turned 3, and so for me it's really important to more deeply understand the processes that my food takes, our food takes, and be able to, I guess, be a spokesperson for the industry as well. And I take that title very responsibly, you know, and it's something that I'm incredibly passionate about.
And this is what's come out of the research as well, isn't it, that more Brits are much more interested in what is going in their mouths?
Absolutely. You know, you mentioned two-thirds you know, want to have natural ingredients in food and drink, and it's important to them. You know, 60% also said that they'd like to know more about how food and drink they consume is made and sourced. And I think, especially in the wake of various different scandals within our food and drink industry, you know, it's becoming more and more important. And people want to do that, you know, but it's often difficult to know how to do that. And that's why that there's a bit for that campaign and the research that's gone into this whole process, and obviously British Food Fortnight as well is instrumental in doing that. It helps to celebrate the diverse range of food and drink that we produce and consume in this country, but also it helps to celebrate the farmers and the producers, the artisan creators of products that make it all happen, really.
And you can't get much more artisan than some of the beers that we have out there. And Steve, with the British Beer and Pub Association, which you joined back in 2010, you're sitting in exactly the right place, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a hugely dynamic industry and a massive contributor to the national economy. I mean, not just financially. I mean, £24 billion a year from the brewing and pubs industry, but also from the point of view of employment, from jobs. Every job in a brewery creates 18 jobs in a pub, one in retail, one in supply chain, and then one in agriculture and farming. And then it's just its export potential. I mean, the quality of British beer is recognised around the world. Its diversity is exciting, and on that basis, it's a massive export product.
And we talk about, you know, knowing what goes onto our plates, but it's great that it is local and keeping it within the UK. And it's all about that journey as well, isn't it, from the crop to the glass. And you can follow that in the beer industry just as you can when you're looking at your local produced meats and other produce.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're very lucky here in the UK that all of the ingredients that we need to make beer are grown here. The barley and the cereals that we use, but as much as anything else, I think a great example of that is the hops, where we grow hops with characteristics that will be used in beer production, which aren't found in other hops around the world. And we handle that very sympathetically. The point about that quality ingredients and the contribution that those ingredients make to the final beer is all about how they're processed and how they're grown in the first place and then how they're used.
And JB, obviously, the British climate works well for this, and the different seasons bring in different flavours as well, don't they, depending on when these things actually come to harvest?
Absolutely, and it's such a huge variety. I mean, even I don't know all of them, I can't get my head around every single one. But, that's exactly it. There's such a huge variety, and it's something, I particularly enjoy having a drink with food, and some of the pairings that you see being highlighted by this campaign, and on the website as well, beerforthat.com, you'll be able to get more information about the different types of food that go well with certain beers and, just different beers in general, the different tastes, the different types and textures that you can get from each one.
And is this something that you enjoy doing with your own produce? Maybe supplying to a local brewery something from your land to turn into something you're going to enjoy right next to another part of the mill you created yourself?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I don't grow any hops or barley myself, but it's definitely something that we'd love to do and look to do in the future. And especially with our farm produce, we produce Tamworth pork, and we also produce Kelly Bronze turkeys, and we supply that to the local community. So being local and celebrating local produce is very, very important to me, and important to our nation as well.
And with four main ingredients in beer, and they're all natural, it's important to look at the way in which this actually works with our bodies as well, because it's not really high in sugar or calories, so it's not necessarily a bad drink to have either, is it, to be fair?
There's a lot of misconceptions about beer, the ingredients that go into beer, but also the composition of beer itself. And you're absolutely right. The calorie content of beer is actually relatively low, it's much like anything in moderation. There is absolutely nothing wrong.
When it comes down to it, watch your units of alcohol, but enjoy something like that responsibly and enjoy it with a meal. And particularly when so many jobs in agriculture are linked to beer production in the UK.
Absolutely. It's a worthy industry to support.
Both of you, which is your favourite beer? JB, first of all.
I'm actually quite partial to a blonde.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like a dark lager as well. My wife also is blonde. So that helps.
Absolutely. And Steve, can you judge him on that choice of beer?
I think that's an admirable choice, particularly the blonde. I think an excellent style of beer, a bit spicy and... particularly refreshing, and yeah, all for that one.
And one of your favourites too, by the sounds of it, which is good.
My favourites change with the wind and the season, and quite frankly, right now, I mean, with the fantastic bounty that we're getting in from British farms, the hops and the barley. I mean, I'm going with an IPA. I think demonstrate the best qualities of both ingredients. That one.
Well, if you want to know what to match your beer to when it comes to your food, beerforthat.com, BERFORTHAT.com. And you can go along there and find out all the different options and experiment a bit yourself. See what if it's the beer you like, work through a few foods and see what it goes well with for you and vice versa. But worth doing. But for now, JB Gill and Steve Lewins, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks, Seth.
Let's take the title track of Jess and the Bandits' brand new album. Now this is Smoke and Mirrors.
She'll be 35, 4th of November. Still pouring coffee for the daily suits and ties. And singing along to the radio. Soul chicken for a microphone. Still keeping that dream alive. In her head they all go wild. But it's all smoke and mirrors. Flash them all a smile and give that crowd your best. If there's no gold. In a crazy cafe on the edge of town. He's just one more suit where the daily grind is getting him down. But when the waitress sings like Loretta Lynn, it makes him feel human again. Oh, to be so free and unbound. People think he's got it all figured out. But it's all best. If there's no gold or glitter, you leave your little life and get back in your head. Yeah, yeah. It's all smoke and mirrors. Oh yeah. Flash them all a smile and give that crowd your best. Oh yeah. There's no gold or glitter. You leave your little life and get back in your head. Yeah. Oh, you leave your little life and get back in your head. You leave your little life and get back in your head.
Smoke and Mirrors, a title track from Jess and the Bandits' brand new album. Another tune on the way very soon. New research reveals primary school teachers spend less than 1.5 hours on science subjects each week. I was lucky enough that I had a teacher in a science club. Somebody who would have absolutely adored that is self-confessed science nut and YouTuber, as well as TV presenter Maddie Moat. Hello.
Hiya.
How are we doing?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, Tar. I know it's important to engage the kids and get them intrigued by the magical world of science, because without science, there's loads of stuff that doesn't happen.
Oh, it's so important. I think it's especially important to get them when they're young as well at primary school. And these, you know, these new statistics, the fact that a lot of primary school students are getting less than 1.5 hours of science a week, it's just a huge shame. And we just want to make sure that we're doing as much as we can to ensure that pupils are being taught science and are being encouraged to ask questions about the world and just be curious.
Yeah, because, I mean, as it goes, 8 out of 10 teachers thinks maths is important and English is important, but only 30% are excited by science and think it's valued to the kids.
Yeah, it just seems that science is being deprioritised at schools. And I think there are lots of reasons as to why that might be. I think teaching science can be slightly intimidating for primary school teachers. There's a misconception that it's messy. Perhaps it requires a lot of resources and time. And, you know, science in the classroom doesn't have to be all about flashes and bangs and experiments. Actually, it can be as simple as asking questions about a couple of pictures that you're looking at. And maybe you're noticing new things, observing changes in the playground. Thinking like a scientist is just about being curious.
Well, even if it's something like building a simple circuit, which we did when we were in school and I was about, what, seven, something like that. It's getting that interest and seeing how things work. And as I say, we had Science Club, which helped as well. The classes would go on and it would be a case of, right, well, we're going to follow, you know, do more on this. We had an interest in the launch of the space shuttles. They were new when I was a kid. And since retired, makes you feel old. But it is great to know that through the work of the Wellcome Trust, there is something that's coming together that's going to give resources to teachers.
Yeah, absolutely. So as a result of these, you know, this research, the Wellcome Trust have developed this new online free programme called Explorify. And this is somewhere that teachers can go to get hold of a bunch of free activities. These are really simple activities you can do in the classroom. They might take 5 or even 15 minutes. And they're designed to encourage curiosity and discussion and observation. And they require hardly any resources at all. You know, it's not even about simple circuits. I'm talking an internet connection and a video screen, you can complete most of these exercises. And they're designed to make things simple and easy for teachers who might be struggling to fit that science into their lesson planning.
And it's about getting the kids thinking as well, as you mentioned earlier. It is that problem-solving technique that can come out of, hang on, why doesn't my experiment work? And it could be a thought experiment. It could just be something on screen that reacts in the same way as a real thing.
Yeah, thought experiments are fantastic. It's, you know, and this might be it's considered a science program, but actually these activities, this way of getting the kids thinking for themselves actually and being in charge of their own learning by letting their curiosity guide them along the way, they're such transferable skills across multiple different disciplines and subjects. So I think it's really important to get our kids thinking like scientists and encouraging that natural curiosity, because it will help them in so many different areas of their life in the future.
Yeah, I'm working with the Institute of Engineering Technology, the Institute of Physics as well. There's more of a background there. There's, you know, big scale research that these organisations are doing, which the kids can tap into through these online resources.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when it comes down to what got you excited, what do you think it was that switched you onto science in the first place?
For me, it was always an interest in wildlife and natural history. I loved being outside. I loved exploring and learning about different animals. So I always loved, especially biology, when I was a kid. I think as I've grown up, I just think I've really embraced this idea of just being curious and staying curious and just wanting to learn as much as you possibly can about the world around you and asking questions. And that's something that I try to do in everything I make or create now, whether that's for YouTube videos or if it's things I'm doing on TV. It's just to try and just spread that passion to a younger generation.
So where can people find you and where can people find out more about this initiative?
Well, if anyone wants to have a check out of Explorify, they just go to explorify.welcome.ac.uk, or they can find me and my educational science videos on YouTube just by searching my name, Maddie Moat.
So look out for Maddie Moat, Explorify, Explorify, or part of the Wellcome Trust website, Wellcome, Wellcome Trust. And have a look at all that lot online. Don't worry about the English and the spelling on that one. We've already decided it's not as important as science anyway. And Maddie Moat, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Time for one last track from Jess and the Bandits now. This is Line of Fire.
The drive, it's nearly 2 a.m. You think you're getting away with it again? I got my calls aimed for this cat and mouse game. Hello, kiss, I taste her on your lips. You say, what are you doing up? I'll tell you now, 'cause things about to go down. I got you in the line of fire. You could try to run it. You've really gone and done it this time. Shut your mouth and stop talking. I hear you lying too often. Hit the road, keep walking, till I can't see you no more. You admit, but say she means nothing. Too little, too late. I'm thinking, how many more?
the score. I got you in the line of fire. You could try to run and hide. You've really gone and done it this time. Shut your mouth and stop talking. I hear you lying too often. Hit the road, keep walking till I can't see you. Don't wait until the morning. Your bag's already packed. Leave your keys.
Jess and the Bandits with Line and Fire. Once again, that's taken from the album Smoke and Mirrors. Check it out now.
The former Round Oak pub is now Round Oak Interiors. 3 years ago, it was taken over by the team who've turned it into a fantastic kitchen showroom. But before then, it was a somewhat dilapidated unit. And to tell us more about it, John Thompson, hello.
Good evening.
So, what happened? How did this all come about? Because you don't necessarily think pub. I know, I'll make a kitchen showroom out of that.
Well, we've always been into returning buildings into a better state than we entered them in, as by definition of the business. So obviously we saw the building, it had been empty for a long time. Nobody seemed interested in doing anything with it, despite its historical precedence in the local area. So we decided, well, if we're going to expand the business, then why not do it in this way?
Well, so it's looking absolutely fantastic now, and such a massive showroom. But obviously, this wasn't how it was when you first took things over. And was there anything left of the pub when you first arrived?
The outside walls were just about still there. So, actually, structurally, it was very good in terms of the outside structure. But internally, it was largely destroyed. Fire damage, 4 or 5 arson attempts. The roof was stripped of lead, and therefore largely rotted through to the core. So we've replaced pretty much everything apart from the bricks.
But obviously that's part of the history, the way the building has held up. And as I say, it's been over a number of years. And so the Round Oak Steelworks was literally just over the road. And looking at some of the pictures from back then, this is dwarfed, yet it looks a huge building.
Well, it just shows the size of the Round Oak Steelworks. And to be honest, every single day we manage to find somebody who walks past who has some sort of connection through family, through relatives, even with the pub. Quite a few people still expect a pint when they come in.
Oh, well, they can have a pint of water, and I've been trying to get your fizzy water tap. That's quite exciting. So, yeah, modern technology snuck in even here. And developing the place, I say it's taken a good while. Is it about 2 years worth of work to get you to the point where you could open?
Yes, we had several issues with council permissions and so on, but once we got past that, as we were doing it on weekends and evenings, obviously that was the thing that took the time, but we decided to get it right, do it properly, same as we tried to do our jobs, and restored it with as much care and attention as we possibly could.
So did you find anything interesting lurking in that brickwork? Were there any surprises as you went along?
There were plenty of surprises, and some of them were living.
But this is the joys of an old building. If it's not being used, it will be taken over by all the flora and fauna in the area. Yes. And you say that you've had to lose a lot. What original features have you been able to keep?
To be honest, the outside brickwork is about the only thing that's truly original. In terms of the restoration, we had to rip down all of the ceilings, all of the joists, but we replaced them, and hopefully in keeping with the original, all the old plaster coving that you'll see if you look around the room, that was all replaced with in mind to sort of keep within the tradition of the building.
And you've got some old pictures of the place when it was a pub to help with that?
Yes, we had a few. We're still asking, actually, if there's anybody out there that does have any pictures of the interior. We're a family-based business, so we do like to sort of consider the historical basis that we're trying to expand now into our future.
So, yeah, it's taking something from the past, making it something great in the future. And that's the same way as, I suppose, you go at someone's home where you're looking to put the kitchen in. You have to think about what is there, making the most of it, making the most of that space. And I think you've shown well off what you can do with what you have here.
That exactly was the idea. If we can do what we did with this place, you can be largely confident we can do yours.
And again, you're looking at the floor down here. This is all modern tiling, but it would have been interesting to see what they could have done with a pub had they have had the sort of materials and design facilities that you've got now.
Well, exactly. This was rebuilt in 1945, so it was the end of the Second World War. So a lot of the structure was substantial, but unusual at the time due to the fact that the war effort restricted building materials. So because of its proximity to the Round Oak Steelworks, which obviously by its own nature helped with the war efforts, they were given special permission. So they did things differently back then, for certain. but it stood the test of time. It's taken four or five good arson attempts. The fire brigade next door obviously are a help with with that particular problem, but it's still here, and we're living here as a family now, and we'll keep it going for many years to come.
Absolutely. So it's a great looking building, a great business in here as well, and it's like something to be proud of, and I assume you're really pleased with the overall result, because it does look fantastic.
Well, thank you very much, and yes, we are very proud of it. We did take our time with it. We try and take pride in all work that we do, and obviously the most important one was this, to show as a showcase for everybody that comes in.
So if people do want to come down, not only to see the kitchens, but take a look at the building, where can they find you?
They can find us right by the Maryhill Shopping Centre, right next door to Bryan Hill Fire Station on the Dudley Road.
And if you want to come along and see your website as well, they can check out maybe some of the pictures of the refurb alongside what you can do to their homes.
Yes, we're currently refurbing our own website, which will hopefully help with some of this, but www.roundoakinteriors.com. You can find us there.
Well, it's been great to take a look around. Thank you for sharing this with you, and particularly for the work that you've done saving a building. And I think that in itself requires commendation, let alone the fact you're putting a business in it and employing people and making the area look so much prettier with the work that you're doing. But for now, Thompson Throm, Round Oak Interiors, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
That's it all for this week. Thank you so much for joining. It's been great to have you along. Back with episode 431 next week. See you soon. But off for now.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.